today, and we have another giant and awesome, awesome leader in the tech space, CEO of Quest Fusion, author of Plan, Commit, Win, 90 Days to Creating a Fundable Startup, Entrepreneur of the Year, CEO of Business Journal, Most Admired CEO, CEO Transcript for Top Influentials, just a giant and someone who really exemplifies San Diego servant leader, which is what Rise Up Radio is all about. Patrick Henry, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thanks, James. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a very impressive long resume and a lot of things we can cover. But before we, you know, dive into all your accolades in the book, which I know all the listeners want to hear about, how did you get here? Maybe unpack a little bit about like what your journey was like.
Well, I mean, I grew up in St. Louis, as we talked about, before the show. So I'm wearing my Chicago Irish Bar t-shirt today, as you guys saw. So
excellent.
Very excited about St. Patrick's Day. I'll probably go do a pub crawl later this afternoon.
Just don't try.
Downtown San Diego. Absolutely. Uber. I love Uber.
Right. Uber works.
So, I'm from St. Louis. Went to Georgia Tech undergrad. Worked in the specialty chemical industry for a number of years before I moved to California. And I got my MBA at USC, moved to Silicon Valley and lived up there for 10 years, working for a lot of the larger tech companies. And ran my first company in Southern California in 2001. I've run three different companies. Moved to San Diego in late 2003 to run Entropic Communications when it was still a very young company, pre-product, pre-revenue. And that was quite a ride. We, you know, took that to an IPO in 2007 and kind of weathered through the global financial meltdown in 2008, 2009, eventually got to a $1 billion valuation. And yeah, it's just been a great ride. You know, I've loved working in the tech industry. Now I'm working with entrepreneurs. So it's a very exciting time for me.
I have an interesting question, and maybe this doesn't pertain to anything else, but IPO seems to be a word that gets thrown out a lot that people are striving towards. And I got to sit down with actually Ralph Rubio. I don't know if you know him in town, and going from IPO and doing that thing, then pulling it back and making a private company. Is it all it's cracked up to be to get to this IPO point?
Well, it was a tremendous experience, and it was definitely 7 extremely tough years of my life, being the CEO of a public company, especially during, the financial downturn 2008, 2009. So, it took a lot of years off my life.
Yeah.
But there are situations when you can't get the valuation for your company through an M&A transaction, through selling the company in a merger and acquisition type of transaction, and an IPO is the best route to go to get liquidity for your investors. So it's really making decisions about that. It's not so much about the ego or the whatever that is about ringing the bell and things like that. It's more about what's best for the investors, what's best for the employees. And in our case, it was definitely the best outcome.
Yeah, and you see your startups and especially in the tech industry, always talking about this elusive IPO thing. And I feel like the same as you, is that really, sometimes it's best.
But as part of the management team, as a CEO or my team, an IPO is not a liquidity event. I mean, it's basically the new start, it's like commencement, you've graduated, now you're in the big leagues and you do get to take some money off the table over time. But if you sell your company, like Mark Cuban did with broadcast.com, he got all the money.
Yeah.
So, and it can be a wild ride having a public stock, especially if you're a small cap stock. So it's a great thing for some companies. For other companies, it's better to be sold and be part of a bigger entity. Really depends on your specific situation.
Which I think probably leads into why you're writing books called Plan, Commit, and Win.
Yeah.
Because you're analyzing these things all the time. So let's talk about the book a little bit.
Sure. So Plan, Commit, Win, it's all about, creating a fundable startup. I formed a new venture a couple years ago called Quest Fusion, where I provide, strategic guidance and advisory services for startups, growth companies. And, I also do some angel investing. So through those processes, I've met dozens of entrepreneurs, either looking for financing for their company or looking for strategic advice, looking for networking connections. And what I've noticed is that one of the biggest things that entrepreneurs lose sleep over at night is raising capital for their companies. That's one of their most persistent kind of chronic issues. And the other thing is a lot of these entrepreneurs, when I meet with them, they really don't have, even some of the basic business things that you would need to run a company and finance a company. So they want my help, but my ability to help them in a, you know, 1 hour coffee meeting really isn't possible. So I wrote the book so I can just hand them the book now.
Right.
Do this.
Start at first base.
And then come back and talk to me.
Yeah. So walk us through just a little bit of plan, commit, win, because I think those can be maybe some ambiguous words sometimes. So let's just break down the plan, commit, win portion of the book just briefly.
So plan, commit, win, you know, is a methodology. I've kind of codified this process of climbing the hierarchy of raising outside capital. And when typically entrepreneurs look at it, they're looking just at, hey, I need an investor pitch and I need to raise money. And you really have to start more at the foundational elements of the pyramid, which is you need to have, you know, intelligent ideation. You need to have a strategic plan. You need to have a business plan, annual operating plan, a budget, all of those planning elements. And then the commitment part is about building the team, you know, and it's not only about having a team, it's, you know, scouting, it's recruiting, it's onboarding, making sure you bring people on board that have the right skill set, but also the right culture. And then execution, you know, setting milestones, meeting milestones, that's all about the commitment piece. Winning is about, you know, raising money, promoting your accomplishments, doing that in an intelligent way that people actually understand what you do. So it's really that kind of cycle, and it's this virtuous cycle that as you go through it and you raise more capital, then you can, you know, refine your ideas, then you can, you know, go through planning again. So it doesn't end there, just like we talked about when you go IPO. You know, it's the end of one thing, but it's the beginning of another thing. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, it's what I keep getting present to is you've obviously been wildly successful in this, and this year is like second nature, and that a lot of people, especially I think here in San Diego, they want to start a company. They want to be an entrepreneur.
Sure.
You know, entrepreneur has become this sexy, cool word.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, from what I'm hearing and what I've heard in the street, a lot of people aren't necessarily there yet. They're not ready. They're not prepared. They don't have a foundation of the basics.
Yeah, I think that being an entrepreneur, you need to have a bias towards action. And you can sit around and plan all day long and never end up doing anything. Just like writing a book, I've probably talked to, you know, hundreds of people maybe that have said, I'm going to write a book. And they never do. Eventually, you got to sit down, put your butt in the seat, and write. And you got to write, and you got to edit, and you got to get critical review, and you've got to do those things. Starting a company is the same thing. You know, you get something, you have to test it with the market, but getting customer feedback, doing planning, measuring results is important, but getting into action is also important.
Huge takeaway as a perfectionist and as an owner and an entrepreneur myself.
Yep.
I love strength finders. I love these other things, but you get in the concept of just not understanding the, or being able to meet goals, not even understanding your own goals because you're so caught up in the weeds of, we got to get this to this place before we can launch it. It's like, just do.
Yeah.
Just
otherwise do. The book would just be called Plan.
Yeah. Right. plan.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Bias towards action, like that, I'm just like seeing that blinding flash. Bias towards action.
Yeah.
You know, it's like fire, then aim. Not ready, aim, fire, and sort it out.
Yeah.
Get your butt in gear.
And gain feedback, gain real customer feedback. You know, what's wrong, what's right. But then you have to be able to listen, you know, and that's another thing I see with a number of entrepreneurs that I meet. They're not coachable, they're not teachable, they don't listen. Others do, and the ones that are very, very successful, even massively successful people like, you know, Eric Schmidt, you know, who ran Google, it's about mentorship, finding the right mentors, finding the right coaches, and listening to them.
Getting
people.
That feedback. I mean, we had Fannie Mae in our office this week, and they're literally interviewing myself and my processor about this new product we just launched together, and they're like, what's working, what's not working, where can we be more efficient? And it was awesome because there was like eight of them there and they're all taking notes and they're all genuinely wanted to know what was inefficient, what wasn't working, what could they improve so they could take their product and improve it and bring it back to market.
Exactly. That's kind of stepwise refinement. Yeah, stepwise refinement. You know, get feedback and then make those refinements and then see how those are working.
Awesome. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we are going to dig into the subtitle of the book, Plan, Commit, Win, by Patrick Henry, 90 Days to a Fundable Startup. Stay tuned. This is Rise Up Radio, sdriseup.com.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey, San Diego, Craig Sewing here. One of the things I know very well is real estate. Inman News nominated me for most influential in the space, and I launched a nationwide network built on the timely truths of our real estate market. Look, one of the many relationships you're going to encounter when buying a home or refinancing is who handles the money, also known as the escrow company. When it comes to hundreds of thousands of dollars, or maybe even millions of dollars in a real estate transaction, you can't just use anyone. I trust Oakwood Escrow. These guys and gals are the best in the business, offering trustworthy service. Whether you're a consumer or in the real estate business, nobody gets it done better than Oakwood Escrow. That's who I'd use, and you should too. Visit them at oakwoodescrow.com. That's oakwoodescrow.com. Hey, Craig Sewing, host of the Craig Sewing Show, where I am committed to helping you win in any marketplace. We talk so much about politics and the financial markets and real estate, really important stuff. Much of it you can't control. Well, I want to give you a piece of advice today on something you can control. What if I told you I could help you make more money without earning another dime? I know it sounds crazy, but the reality is it's through your tax plan. So many people rely on CPAs to do their taxes for you. At the end of the year, you're going to see if you're getting money back or if you owe money, and you call that a tax plan. That is not a tax plan. That's just shuffling papers and seeing what happens. I got to introduce you to our good friend with Jennings Financial Group, Douglas Jennings. Doug Jennings can help you reduce your tax liability, do it legally, ethically, and get you well on your way. This is something that you can control. You can do it today. I highly encourage you, visit him online, JenningsFinancialSD.com. JenningsFinancialSD.com. It's not what you make, it's what you keep. Visit Doug online today, JenningsFinancialSD.com.
Hey, San Diego. Have you been to any Padres games this year? You might have noticed my name on the outfield scoreboard as the realtor for our team. Hi, I'm Melissa Tucci, the exclusive realtor for the San Diego Padres, and I don't just help the ballplayers. I've helped thousands of San Diegans just like you buy and sell homes. I love this business, I love helping people, and I love to have a conversation with you to explore your real estate goals. Whether you're buying or selling, visit me online at melissatucci.com and shoot me a quick message. That's MelissaTucci.com. Or just call me 619-787-6852. That's 787-6852. Or again, just visit me at melissatucci.com. Let's start the conversation today. I look forward to the opportunity to get to know you better. And feel free to call, text, or email me. Thank you so much.
Your home should be a place that you love coming to. Hi, I'm Nikki Klug, interior designer, and there is nothing I enjoy more than helping San Diegans live in homes that they fall madly in love with. I've helped hundreds of homeowners experience a sense of luxury, rejuvenation, and inspiration in their everyday lives. If you need help creating a home that you love, please visit me online at NikkiKlugDesign.com or call me at 619-948-7173.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. This is Rise Up Radio. It is St. Patty's Day. We're sitting with Patrick Henry, not the one from the history books, but the one in the studio, the amazing impact, the man of impact here in San Diego. And we left you off with the subtitle of his book, Plan, Commit, Win, which I encourage you to pick up a copy because it's a blueprint, and I think it's a very helpful blueprint just from the last 10 minutes of conversation. But the subtitle is The 90 Days to a Fundable Startup. Please tell us about your funding process and what it entails.
Yeah, so I think some people get confused. It's not like you create a company and in 90 days you have a fundable startup. This is for companies that have already kind of gone through the bootstrapping stage and the friends and family financing stage, and now they're looking for their first round of outside capital, whether it's from angel investors or from venture capitalists. So you really need to prepare. You know, you need to do your homework before you have those kinds of meetings. And as we mentioned in the earlier segment, you know, a lot of guys come to me and gals that want to raise money and they want me to help them to develop a pitch. And that is an important part of it, you know, having a presentation and how you present. But there's these other foundational elements. So I think that that's really what it's about. The outline, the methodology in Plan, Commit, Win takes you through the stepping stones of climbing that hierarchy of raising outside capital. And if you start from scratch, you can do it in 90 days. A lot of companies already have pieces of what's necessary. Maybe they have an executive summary or a business plan, and this can be used as a screening process to see, you know, what elements they might be missing.
And a big piece that I think is being talked about today, is passion. We have to have passion towards your business. I believe that that is a must, but I'm interested to unpack because I think that you look at it from a little bit different lens of, you know, everyone's talking about the necessary piece of having passion to succeed, but you emphasize something else. You say a successful entrepreneur need to create business that make difference in the world. Why?
Yeah, passion is essential but not sufficient. And, you know, it's been talked about so much, and there's so many Steve Jobs quotes out there about it, you know, it's almost become cliche. Mm-hmm. And that's what people emphasize. You know, I've got passion. But really, successful entrepreneurship and building successful companies is about the intersection of your passion, your domain expertise, your technical expertise, and a market need. Mm-hmm. And that market need is sometimes missed by many entrepreneurs. You know, they have this cool product idea and they've got a lot of passion around it, but they haven't looked at what customers really need. What problem are they solving? As an example, you know, I hear, you know, dozens of investor presentations, sometimes at angel groups, sometimes one-on-one, and the vast majority of them spend 90% of the time talking about the product. And it's great to have passion and to really be into your product. What investors really want to hear about is maybe 20% of the time about the product, and they don't need to know every in-depth detail about the product. They need to know what problem you're solving for real customers. And then they want to talk 80% of the time about the business and the business model. How do you make money? How do you position the product? Who are your customers? What's the competitive landscape? All the things that, you know, are necessary to understand and what your assumptions are about those things to see if you can actually build a successful business out of that terrific product and the passion that you have for it.
Yeah, and with passion, you probably have to start somewhere. So you may start out as the technician. I don't know if you've read The E-Myth. I think it's a good book to just kind of understand processes and structures of business. But can a technician also be the CEO? Can we wear those hats in business today?
Yeah, I think that it all depends on how much you can learn and grow. You know, there are definitely people that start as, you know, Michael Dell, you know, he's a college student, started building personal computers in his dorm and selling it to his friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people are the, you know, the Bill Gateses or the Henry Fords or the Michael Dells or people that can go from being the single entrepreneur to being a CEO of a successful company. That's not the norm. You know, the Mark Zuckerbergs, they're not the norm, but there are people that are able to do that. I think you need to always constantly assess yourself and be open to feedback and what you're going to do. You know, a lot of times, I'll try to clean this up a little bit, but, you know, I'll meet people and it's like, do you want to have a business card that says CEO, or do you want to have a business card that says I'm a rich, wealthy person because I built this company with other people around me and I actually hired a CEO and brought them in to help me build the company?
Yeah. So maybe it's a question of where you stand, not are you entitled to that place, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's that is your goal to feed your own ego? Is your goal to build a great company?
Right. Have enough self-awareness where you put yourself in the right seat on the bus and then
exactly.
Not be CEO.
And you can still contribute in great ways. I mean, you look at some of the guys, like the Google guys brought in Eric Schmidt, and, you know, the guy that started eBay, you know, brought in Meg Whitman. You know, so you've got people that had that awareness that, and they still became, you know, great entrepreneurs. And, you know, like, can't remember exactly the guy that started Yahoo, but, you know, they brought in a couple, you know, a CEO as well. So it really depends on who you are and what you want to accomplish and, you know, how big your goals are.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, raising capital. You say that a lot of startups kind of miss one of two elements. And
yeah.
There's a couple key elements and ingredients that you have for raising capital.
Yeah. It's not always the same two things. You know, that's why, you know, Plan Commit Win is there to be as a screening process, is to be thorough, you know, check the boxes, look at what you're doing, you know, go through a situation analysis, you know, go through intelligent ideation, you know, go through a business planning process, do a set of financials. You know, there's different things that come up. A big part of reasons why people don't invest is, you know, maybe they see it as a great business idea, but then they have to say, is this the team that can pull this off? So you have to have that credibility. You have to have that knowledge and understanding, and then also be able to listen. I mean, one thing I talk about in the book is, you know, be ready to defend your assumptions, but don't do it in a defensive way.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, that's tricky,
yeah.
But that's what you got to do.
To me, what it sounds like is you're taking passion and maybe some structure, and you're overlaying this process on top of it and saying there's several different ways to skin the cat, but let's probably try and end up at a similar spot so that it's a formula and it works. Right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a set of fundamental things that you need to have to build a successful business. And clearly, you know, that passion, having a product that solves a real customer need are two of the key things. But you also have to have a business model that makes sense. And it may turn out that you go through plan, commit, win, you're like, my idea isn't a great business model. Great news. Either refine the business model or scrap it and don't waste a whole bunch of money and time on it.
Yeah.
You know, so that might be the outcome, or the outcome might be I need to do these, fix these one or two refining things and be able to explain it in a better way to angel investors and venture capitalists and get my company funded.
You've experienced so many companies working through this process. And I think that one of the key things that I'm interested to hear why you think this, but you think that companies can actually raise too much money too soon.
Yeah.
That's an interesting problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, you see it actually pretty frequently, more in Silicon Valley than down here. But, you know, Bill Gurley, who's a famous venture capitalist, you know, talks about, you know, having Kind bars and kombucha, you know, bars at all these places instead of like, you know, eat top ramen, you know, be hungry and, you know, do things efficiently, be frugal, be lean. I think that's part of it. But I think the other part of it is, you should really raise enough capital that, you know, you can accomplish the next set of key milestones in, say, 18 to 24 months. Because it's just going to be, if you are being successful, you're going to have step up in valuations as you hit those key milestones. Because as you accomplish things, you reduce risk. As you reduce risk, you increase valuation. So it forces you to be more focused. It forces you to be, like we talked at the break, you know, you have these people that are going in a gazillion different directions and have a gazillion different initiatives. A lot of times when I'm working with entrepreneurs in my coaching practice, it's focus, 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 focus on a narrow set of products, a narrower set of features. The rest will just be roadmap. You know, great to have a roadmap, but get something out the door, get something in customers' hands, focus on a narrow enough niche of customers that you can then dominate that niche and then go from there. And then people talk about Facebook and Amazon. Amazon started just with books. Mm-hmm. Facebook started just with university students. You know, they did have a focus strategy in the beginning. They dominated that and fanned out from there.
So would you say that, in a sense, overcapitalizing the company creates a sense of laziness?
Sense of laziness, a sense of entitlement, and a lack of focus. You know, it's just you think you can do more than you can actually reasonably accomplish. And one of the only advantages of a small company versus big established companies is focus. The yeah. ability to make decisions more quickly, to be able to act more quickly, and focus.
You're no longer throwing the spaghetti against the wall to see if it sticks. You're eating it.
Exactly.
That's what we got. We're eating this stuff. So how can people find out more about you, Quest Vision, and the plan, commit, win?
Yeah, so plan, commit, win is, I'm in the last, 50 hours of my Kickstarter campaign. So you can go to plancommitwin.com and that goes directly to the Kickstarter. After that, you know, pre-sales of the book will start there. I'm in kind of my final set of edits right now. Going to get that out to the printer and the book will be available in late April on amazon.com as well as, you know, through plancommitwin.com.
Patrick, absolutely amazing. I appreciate the energy. I appreciate what you're doing for people here in San Diego and keeping people in their lane. Because I really hear that's what you're doing is like, there's passion and then there's executing on that passion. You're the action man.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage other people, if you're listening to this, what actions are you taking? Are you talk? Are you action? And if you have great ideas, please, please experiment with those things. Please engage in your passions, but let's just figure out if they're helping other people or if it's a selfish endeavor that may just be putting money in your pocket, which that's a form of currency. It's great. If that's your business plan, do that. But I think there's something bigger, and I think that's what you're alluding to.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's opportunity all over the place, and it's solving real problems for real people, making a difference, changing the world, and, you know, benefiting from that.
James, it's St. Patty's Day. We're going to celebrate. We're wearing some green, so I hope that green is not just money to you. I hope it means something. I hope that you're involved in your community. And most of all, I hope you're choosing to rise up.